The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Jay the Red Santee, host of Turnbuckle Tabloid. And as you know, here on our show, we are big fans of music. Pop, R&B, reggae, rock, whatever have you. We love to play it here on the show. But what we want to play is your music. And how can we do that? So you guys partake and share in our Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid. And just give us a small donation and we would love to share your music on our show. Whether you're an artist, you're a singer, you're a producer, whatever it is that you guys do in the field, we want to share your music to the masses and our hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners and viewers and followers. So make sure you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/Turnbuckle Tabloid and be a part of our show as much as we want to be a part of sharing your talent. So hope to hear from you guys soon and enjoy the show.
David Adams here. You're listening to Turnbuckle Tabloids. Don't miss out.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Is it tough for you to find a date? Difficult on those dating apps to find that special someone? Is it really hard to disconnect from that umbilical cord and walk away from your insecure mother? Well, we have a thing for you. On our website, your friends and family can help by donating to get you someone special in your life. And if it's not a special someone as a soulmate and such, maybe it could just get you laid. That's right. Gentlemen, there is a site for you. It is called GoFme.org. That's right. GoFme.org is the website which your friends can help to pitch in, get you some charitable donations to help get you, well, basically laid. GoFme.org has done many, many charitable cases and gotten such successful bonds between men and women, you cannot pass up this charitable website for you. You can listen to the many cases we have, read upon how many of our men have found their special someone or that special someone for the moment. GoFme.org. The F stands for take a listen to one of our many cases.
Well, I was living in the basement of my dad's condominium for a good, healthy amount of time, and I wasn't getting, you know, the stuff that the ladies have in between their legs. So I got pretty worried and thinking that possibly I was maybe introverted and not into that. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's okay not to be into ladies, but I really do. I enjoy them much, very much. So much that I sit outside of their locker rooms at the local Planet Fitness and wait for them to come out after they take shot. I think I said too much. Any case, my dad put my profile up on GoFme.org and believe it, so many people were donating charitable monies just to see if I can get a woman, and within a week I was able to get, well, let's just say I rounded second base. Oh, but with one more charitable donation from you guys at gofme.org, I may be able to slide home. Thank you guys at gofme.org and to all my friends and family who want to see me get some trim.
Give a listen to one of our greatest accomplishments in gofme.org history. That is our friend Gregory. So, I really don't care if I ever meet a woman in my life. I was that kind of guy that my stubbornness separates me from the pack. Because I'm a real man. I'm okay with living at home and having my gorgeous mother make cookies and bake me roast beef every Friday for dinners. That's all the women I needed. Until one of my cousin Bernice, who I used to peek through her bathroom when she used to have a little crack on the side, and I used to look in while she would take a shower because I wanted to make sure she was greasing up and soaping up all her lady parts properly. She could be a mess sometimes. I wanted to make sure she was doing it right. Well, anyway, she signed me up for gofme.org. And man, was that ever a treat. Let's just say, I found my true love, a lucky lady from Lithuania. And my, when I tell you, she was the pick of the litter. Ooh-wee. Thank you to all my friends and family, especially my cousin Bernice, who, by the way, hasn't spoken to me in 6 months because I stole her underwear out of her underwear drawer. But it's okay. I'll give it back to her when I'm done with it. Anyway, thank you, gofme.org. The F stands for... This is your old friend, Gregory, or for you ladies, Grego. So if you feel the need that you need a loved one in your life to help endorse your lack of sex, or at least want someone to hold your hand while you're watching WrestleMania, go to gofme.org. Fme.org is a nonprofit organization here to get you some kind of sexual or any kind of intimacy. Listen, guys, if you're that bad off, go to gofme.org. Gofme.org, where the F stands for fuck. This commercial is brought to you by
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
This is the Viper, the Legend Killer, Randy Orton. And when I'm not punting skulls or RKOing the roster, I'm listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid. Download, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, I'm going to RKO these two mooks out of nowhere.
Give me that fucking mic!
Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
So last night, I started going through the old audio for the past year because we're doing best of.
Best
of 2020. So I was going through the old stuff. The old interviews, you guys could get that during the week as well. That's coming down the pike. And,
a lot of great talent.
And, I was going to kick off with the whole situation that we have in the beginning of the year with the Teddy Hart.
Right.
That
would come first, Ogre.
Yeah. I was going to go through that, the Teddy Hart issue, then with that jerk off from Nightwave and shit.
Nightwave.
And I went back and I was going through not only our stuff, I was going through the stuff that he said about us as well, because I was going to incorporate it so that everybody had it back and forth.
Right.
I began to get infuriated, like, to a level to where, wow, I wish that I lived in the same city with this dude, because I probably would have ended up walking to his house and punching him in the face.
Wow, Nightwave?
I literally was that pissed. Like, I got to that point, because I was like, you know, there's individuals in the world that just don't get it. Like, they right, really don't get it.
Uh-huh.
Especially, like, what we do here on the show is, like, they don't get it.
Well, I said that, and someone's response was, well, that's his way of keeping the viewers. He has to be a dickhead. And I'm like,
I get, I understand that, because that's what we do. We're dickheads. I don't care about that. But right, I'm talking about that they don't get the idea of what we are. The show is a goof in itself. That's just what it is.
Right.
So I'm listening to this, and actually, I forgot about a lot of stuff that he had said, and it was just coming through and hitting me. I was really getting fucking annoyed. I really was. It was pissing me off.
Uh-huh.
It, so much so that I stopped the editing of the show, and I just went to bed. I went to go lay down because I was really pissed. I was upset.
Yeah.
But then I woke up maybe about 6 o'clock in the morning, because I was having a tough time sleeping because it was so bothering me. But I got up about 6 something in the morning, and I thought about the news that we had gotten hit with prior to me starting the editing, which was the passing of Brody Lee. And
yes, John Huber.
And I'm going, also known as Luke Harper in WWE. And I started thinking about, this is a man who's 41 years old.
Yep.
Two kids, young
kids.
You know, and wife, you know, solid family, and just loved what he was doing. Loved the business.
Passionate, man.
Passionate about the business. New York guy from upstate New York.
Yep.
And start thinking about, like, how life is just so fucking short. And especially in this past year, all the shit that's been going on
with
the pandemic, and just people have been dying left and right, and just, you know, I mean, death is inevitable, and it's
death
shocking.
And taxes, family.
Yeah, and
death
and
taxes,
and it's shocking.
But you told me it was a very eye opening year.
Yeah, and it was very much so of an eye opening year for not only for us as a community, but just in the sense of things could be gone at any moment. Be it life, be it money, be in your house, be it anything. It could just be gone at any moment.
Yeah.
And when you look at a magnitude of an impact that a man like him left in the wrestling world and outside of the ring as well, because you see the outpouring of respect.
Oh my God, it's all over crazy. Social media. It's all, every single wrestler from indie to the big shows to even production in the back. I mean, you could just see the love and outpour for the man.
It's such a huge spectrum of individuals who are showing their respect and paying it forward on Luke Harper, Brody Lee, John Huber, or whatever you knew him as.
Yep.
I took it as, you know what? Life is just too short to fucking be pissed.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
And usually in life, you know me, I'll go into an argument with somebody, or I'll have a disagreement with somebody, and like 5 minutes later, I'm back into like
regular
bullshit.
We've been there.
Last night was just like a retrospective, like just me saying,
it's not worth it.
Nobody's worth that time for
it's
me.
Not.
Yeah, to actually have that kind of anger and malice towards them.
I try not to sweat the small things because of that, because it's like, you know, people are going through worse than what I'm going through, for sure, and life's too short to even to give people that attention to make it ruin your day, because you don't know when if you're gonna have another day. Imagine that, knowing your last day on earth was spent wallowing and being sad over someone else giving bullshit. Like, nah, I'm not gonna give anybody that power. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
And you're looking at social media up and down the line,
everywhere.
I mean,
not even wrestlers. It's everywhere.
Well, I mean, you just said it before the mics went on. It was Eyewitness News.
Eyewitness News
just said something about
News.
It.
Yeah, man. SportsCenter had it today.
Yeah, it goes from. It goes from really looking into And we'll get into the whole, you know, his life, his career, and such like. But it really goes into retrospect of what this year has thrown at us. And
a big curveball.
You just start, you know, you're thinking like, can we just get past the next couple of days? Because then we can see what happens
close,
in the new
right?
year, right?
We're so close, right?
But yeah, guys, in case you guys didn't know, but you will know now, 41 years old, Brody Lee at AEW, Luke Harper at WWE, and John Huber in his real life passes away of non-COVID lung illness. It just sounds
unreal.
And it's funny because now you have to say it's non-COVID.
It's
not COVID related because everybody's in their mind is already going, oh God,
it's COVID.
It's COVID. And which, by the way, a lot of you pricks on social media.
Yeah, don't even get me started with them, man.
Wow. You know, the man hasn't even been gone for
24 hours,
and you're already picking at nonsense of
blaming
individuals,
Jericho,
blaming the promotion. It's horrible.
I see people are already selling his action figure for double the price on Facebook.
I mean, really?
They're pieces of shit out there, bro. That's why I don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt no more. That's why I don't do that anymore. I used to, but people like that, I have no respect for. So the guy didn't pass away for 24 hours, like you said, and people are already saying that it was due to Chris Jericho bringing COVID from his concerts to the arena.
Come on,
how do you think about that?
Yeah, well,
that's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Exactly.
Bro?
How quickly do you think that kind of
people
weight?
Selling his action figure online? Poor taste, right? Yeah, that's you know, it's sad. But I am glad to say that the 99% of the reaction of Brody Lee's passing, it was all to come together for support and love, and more than hate and bullshit and rumors and all that crap. Of course, people have to ruin the fucking you know, stomp on the ground some days, but. To see the outpour of all these wrestlers, like I told Red on the phone before. This is not something small. This is a big deal. This came out of nowhere. I hate to compare the deaths here, but it reminded me of Chadwick Boseman's death out of nowhere.
But
I thought the dude was hurt. I thought they were repackaging him. I thought that they were giving Brody Lee an opportunity to repackage himself and give him time off.
Right.
You and me had this conversation 3 weeks ago. You thought you told me he was hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It was like,
he tweaked his knee against Moxley. Like, that's what I was being told. And now he's gone.
And then he had the match with the dog collar match. And we thought, you know, that was just a way of writing him off and
giving him the repackaged treatment. Like you said, like you always say, you want me to miss somebody. We thought he was getting that miss me treatment.
Right,
and now we never see him again. That's how life flashes before your eyes. That's just scary.
It stated that the wife stated that he had a lung infection, and it's just crazy.
And supposedly he's been battling this for months.
Yeah, it's just crazy how something like that could just
end your whole life.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the accomplishments and where this man had gone up and down. Like I said, Eastern Seaboard guy, was yep. East Coast guy.
He owned the indies with John Moxley in CCW.
Yeah, early 2010s, or like, you know, about 2007 to like 2010.
Yeah.
There was rumblings of this guy up and down the board. I mean, he was New Jersey, especially the Jersey Pro, they had him as their champion. He was their tag champion. As well, he was a tag champ with Necro Butch, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
And his whole premise was to make it to WWE. That's what we wanted, because all it was for him was he knew that's where not only was he going to be able to be able to live off financially, but he was also, I think for him to say that he made it, that an accomplishment, goals.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They had a mini doc on him on WWE not too long ago. I remember watching it. It was the same documentary they did for like Bayley and for Seth Rollins and shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he discussed, you know, those cold winter nights where you at an indie show and, you know, only, you know, 10, 15 people are there and you're giving it your all.
Yep.
Just for that hot dog and handshake kind of deal.
Because you know, because you love what you do.
Yeah.
Finally, before we continue, I do want to say a few things from the Facebook chat. Ray Raimundo, we love you too. Yeah, shit, scratch that. We love you more. Always got to tell that to you. Make sure to never forget to tell people that you love them. Happy holidays, Kyle. I appreciate you. And Rondo's in the building. I mean, you know, Rondo, we have much love for you, your family. So,
Rondo, you got some work to do. We figured out we got to put you on some work.
Yeah, we got an assignment.
We have an assignment for you, sir.
But yeah, Ray, love you, man. And I appreciate all you guys in the chat. So, which like Jericho just posted on Twitter like 5 minutes ago. Hug your family. Tell them you love them. You don't know when someone will leave this planet, and it's unfortunate. Chokeslam Wrestling News is in here. What's going on, guys?
Yeah. So yeah, he spoke about those early times, you know, going into these bingo halls, all these armories, all these Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus. He paid his dues, man. You know what? Guys like Kevin Owens and Eddie Kingston said it like on Twitter yesterday or this morning. The guy just wanted to fucking wrestle, man. Think about that. He didn't care about the money. He scrapped for nickels and dimes for as much as he can for his family. But he just wanted to wrestle and support his family. He was a family first guy. That's clear as day. Every single person who's tweeted about Brody Lee the past day has said one thing. Unison. Everyone, one thing connects. He was a family first guy. He cared about his family and supporting them first. And, like I always tell you, I think the biggest title in the world once you give birth, once you have a kid, is the best is to be an amazing father. And they said that he was, so I'm happy to hear that.
But you also think about it too. It's like regardless of what you finally get to, it's the road to get there. Yep. And
those are the best memories sometimes, man.
And Brody, he spoke about that in certain podcasts where he talked about it was, you know, driving from town to town, getting to one place or another, fighting once, maybe twice a night.
But he's going to Wawa in between. Yeah, you know, the journey.
But he always said that his whole mission was to get back home. It was always about to get back home.
Yep, see his family, man.
Yeah, it was all about being at home. And the you know, the guys in the back even. When you hear how Braun Strowman is even talking about their connection,
yep,
and how, you know, he was tough on him and gave him constructive criticism and let it be known that, you know, it's not an easy road for you, even though you're the big man.
It's not easy.
It's not going to be an easy road for you. And he always said, he says he never spoke back. He never talked ill. He took every bit of information that he had and he used it. And a lot of these guys are really feeling it now.
Yep.
Because like we were mentioning, it's like you just don't know.
You don't.
And I mean, this is, like I said, out of the blue. You get hit with news like this, and
the wrestling world is in mourning.
It's just sad. We did the show the other day, and we just announced two passings. One was like, wow, okay, he was an NFL player, but he was in WCW. He was a young man too, 58 years old, and was like, wow, crap, you know, yeah, that sucks. Then the other one was Danny Hodge, who's 88 years old, presence in the year, you know, we know. But then this comes out 41. Of the blue. This comes out of the blue. And we were just waiting for him to come back because you were just talking about before, like the shittiness that's going on in
the Dark Order is like all over the place. Right. But now I kind of understand why they were been juggling bullshit with them. I mean, they're waiting for their leader to come back, but at the end of the day, it's like he wasn't, and unfortunately, he's not going to come back.
And I think they knew there was rumbling saying that they knew that him stepping away, actually, they knew the severity of what was going down, but they weren't quite sure whether it was going to be, you know, something terminal. They just were hoping that he would be able to come back.
Yep.
I said this one, like,
it's just weird.
We use it hits different.
Yeah, it hit different. Honestly, it's different. It's weird, you know. And we usually say that for a funny term, but like,
yeah,
this just it doesn't sit right with me. It didn't sit right with me going to bed last night knowing that a man at 41 years old with two kids didn't wake up the next morning. Like, that shit just it makes me feel weird. Like, it just it kind of gives me bad chills, but. Like I said, I told Red when I saw the notification that what happened, AEW posted it first. I thought it was a fucking work. I was like, rest in peace, Mr. Brody Lee. I was like, oh, what are they giving him a new gimmick? But then I was like, wait a minute, this is real.
Right.
It's one of those things that, like, I don't want, I, like, once again, I hate comparing deaths, but it gave me kind of an Eddie Guerrero PTSD where it's like, holy shit, I did not expect this to happen. Like, out of nowhere, Chadwick Boseman kind of shit. It gave me chills and gave me automatic PTSD about the day I found out Eddie died. That I ran in my basement and I was fucking, didn't want to go to school that day. I was crying my eyes out. Mm. And it brought me back to that because it's like, nobody knew. That's the thing. Nobody knew.
I remember for my recollection of Brody Lee, somehow, like I said, maybe early 2010s, around that time, mm-hmm. I was getting back into the indie wrestling scene.
Yep.
And there was always talk, especially through like in Chikara, like I said, Jersey. They all spoke about this dude, but I never saw him. I never knew who it was.
Yep.
Like, Brody Lee. And it was like, yo, this guy moves like an athlete. He's athletic. He knows how to get. And I'm like, all right. And then finally, when I saw the guy, he's a fucking giant. I go, wait a minute, hold on, really? So then finally, you know, you get little videotapes. Oh, not videotapes. Sorry, little videos here and there, like on YouTube and stuff like that. You see stuff here and there, and it's like, oh, okay. But it wasn't until he went into NXT, before NXT became what it is now.
It was not like that.
No. Yeah. When he was in part of the Wyatts.
Yep.
And that whole spiel went on.
Yep.
That was like a whole nother level. In NXT early on, Luke Harper was a whole other level with Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan. It was like a
whole
thing.
The Wyatt family was a whole new era, man. Yeah,
it was.
I think the Wyatt family kind of brought back Stables in a way. And, like, they were the first, them and the Shield were kind of the first Stables back in a long time where I was like, all right, let's do it.
They had that look.
I was called, and believe me, because I'll be the first one to admit, I heard rumblings of Brody Lee in the indies, but I really got a first taste of him as Luke Harper. And I would always call him the man that has the sweaty undershirt because he always had like
dingy,
dirty, which it was a part of the gimmick, but I always called him sweaty because he always had like the wife beater, and it was fucking soaked in sweat near his chest.
Yeah,
but like they owned NXT, man.
Yeah, that run there was
that made all three of their careers. I mean, Eric Rowan. But,
they were dominating. And then finally, when they get the call up, and he's there as you know, just. And the crazy thing is that these guys never. The only one who spoke was Bray.
Yeah.
Then when you finally hear him speak, it goes, "Oh, okay." Because a lot of people would have thought that they were like from some hick, fucking backwoods bayou fucking place.
Which we always, you know, we said, why did they give Luke Harper this character? He's not from Electric Boogaloo.
It's like not a Mississippian or some shit like that. Yeah. It's fucking Rochester and shit.
Yeah.
But then you hear the guy speak, and he's eloquent, he's educated,
yeah,
and
like Luchasaurus kind of shit.
And that was the thing that he wanted to show in WWE. That's what he fought for. He wanted to show Vince and the fans that there was a man behind that persona.
Unfortunately, Vince never gave him the light of day to give that chance.
Nah, he wanted him to sound like the hick.
The Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, the Bludgeon. That was the other thing. And you know what?
And they were a great tag team. I really enjoyed the Bludgeon Brothers.
But that was the other thing, too, that they gave them, you know, these gimmicks. And although, you know, he may or may not have liked them, for the most part, didn't. But he's a worker. He's like,
did his job.
You gotta go with it. You gotta do what it is that we gotta do.
Gotta support the family, man. I gotta work my ass off.
But not only that, like you mentioned earlier, loved the business.
Yep.
Was integral in getting that Wyatt family over, getting the tag team division over, got the Intercontinental Championship,
which was great.
Yeah, that was a big win. He wasn't supposed to be the fan favorite,
but he was.
But became the fan favorite
because he reminds me of a Cesaro. He's a guy who deserved the most. He deserved the heavyweight belt. He deserved a chance at a shot at being the main event program. Like, mm-hmm. you know? And he earned it. He busted his ass every week, regardless of what he was told. Vince could have told him to go into a chicken costume, and he would have done it. Because you know what? That's a part of the business. He understood the business. Like you said before, there are people sometimes that don't get what we do. Brody got the business. He understood what it took to make it. He understood what the dues you had to pay, the wah-wah trips, the piss, the handshakes, the hot dogs. He always knew that. And, you know, the wrestlers on Twitter clearly are sharing those stories. And all I hear is humble, gracious, and just an all-around amazing person.
Finally leaves, gets to go to AEW.
And be his own. And, yeah.
And was able to finally get from behind that mystique and let him talk.
Yep.
Show that the man can be charismatic. Looked hella well in a suit. It was well dressed,
right?
But once again, still had that persona in and out of the ring, and a large presence that, you know, you could tell that this man is a star. That he is a star, and deserved to be.
Yep.
And it's
and I was happy to see Brody Lee, like, you know, the Dark Order, whatever it was. Like, I was happy to see him on TV every week.
I just hated, like, the direction that they were going with it, but he was still making it work.
He made the best of it.
Yeah. Right? He still was making it work.
I wasn't a fan of the Vince jabs a lot and, like, the reminiscent of WWE and shit like that, but like I said, he was on TV every week. I mean, and that's all Brody ever wanted. He wanted just to be perform. He wanted to wrestle. He wanted to show his kids what he could do, man.
Yeah, so very unfortunate. The passing of a man of such a young age, age 41, Luke Harper, and WWE, Brody Lee, everywhere else.
Yeah.
And
which I have to ask you a question as we continue. You know, AEW actually commented on WWE's post.
Really?
For the passing of John.
Uh-huh.
He said, we'll miss you, John, with a heart. AEW literally commented on WWE's post. Do moments like this, do you think at the end of the day, like, it reels the curtain and goes, you know, at the end of the day, we talk all this war bullshit, but we're all of one family.
Of course you have to, because, you know, wrestling is the family.
I think, yeah.
That's what it is. Wrestling is
behind all the smoke and mirrors bullshit about the ratings, about all that crap. At the end of the day, they've all been in the same locker room. They've all shared the same locker room. They're all family in a way. Does this change the not just Luke Harper's passing, just like moments like this in general? Does this change the tide in terms of how the wrestling world looks at each other?
No, not at all. No. But it does say one thing though. It does say that, you know. Because I saw people going, why is people surprised that WWE mentioned it? And it's because WWE could be pricks. Because
they could be pricks. Yeah. They've done it before.
Yeah, they could be pricks.
I knew in my heart they were going to do it, and I do expect a 10-bell salute on Raw this week. I do, too. I think The Fiend will be right in the front. Not The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. I do think that will happen. But it's hard. Sometimes WWE could be a dick.
Oh, my God. His post was...
Bray Wyatt was tear-jerking.
Heart-wrenching. I mean, everybody else who...
Shared a quick story, but Bray, that was like the guy who came up. Him and Eric Rowan, they, those three were together. That's like if, you know, a member of the Shield was lost. They were family.
Yeah, I forgot who was that posted that. They mentioned it, said, you made it comfortable for us to say I love you to each other. Like, it's another thing, too, especially in a male-dominated kind of culture and also in this world that we live in.
Yeah.
That one man can't tell another man I love you. It's just a stupid fucking
nonsense.
Well,
that's bullshit.
But it's good to hear that that is still a practice that can be done, you know, especially during these times, because once again, like we just said earlier, like, we just don't know.
You don't know what tomorrow brings.
You don't know when you're ever going to hear it again. So once again, our condolences goes out to the family and to the wrestling world and co-workers, wrestlers alike, and everybody else in the community. Big loss in the wrestling world this past day. And that'll be a short quoting a promo from us this week, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. And continuing on this episode, I did a podcast called the Quick Pop. Quick Pop Podcast, right?
Quick Pop, all right.
Yeah. And shout out to those guys over there, Ace, Ron, and Jake. They was cool guys. But I'm listening to their podcast, and you don't really hear me. You don't really hear me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like old us, like BC, before the beep boop machine. Like,
right.
Little Bit calls it.
Yikes, the beep boop, beep boop, Mr. Krabs.
Before that. So, Luckily, I recorded it.
All right.
So you guys will get a bit of that kind of Santee outside of Turnbuckle Tabloid.
All right.
Which, by the way, I slide into, like, I'm taking over shit anyway. I tend
course,
to do that.
Of course. That's
I go to somebody else's show and I tend to slide and become fucking...
I'm not surprised.
Postmaster General.
I'm not surprised.
You guys will be able to hear that on this episode as well. And don't go anywhere, guys. Stick around for the second. For guys who've been watching on Facebook Live, thanks for checking in. Laters.
Later, Mook.
It's a blessing what the eye can see. I never want to go to sleep. Got me thinking about what I can be. I tell them and it all work out that this said it's all started with a vision. This said it's all started with a vision. Never told my moms this is what I plan to be. Never told my mother this is what I wanted to do. Bus driver, doctor, teacher, yeah, that sounds attainable. Tough as true religion, denim, but you let them wrangle you. You know I never let them come past. Cause if they did, I bet they'll try and angle you. Never had a Jesus piece, instead you let them put them chains on you. Mind shackled while your thoughts ring your own bell. You responsible for who jangled you. Reality, the monster at the highest level. At the end of the game, we still gotta face the truth. Cloud your judgment, what the fame would do. I never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the fame. Just give me the right signal when I take my own lane. It's the infrared on your messages since I see I aim. And I'm a ball so major that'll bring you out of pain. Growing up, you could be like Jay or either be like Mike. I'm printing rhymes through your speakers, I'm just being a stereotype. Without seeing my name over burial site before I reach the age of 25. Not selling a diamond, using a crack pipe. Like, when I go out, I wanna hear the bagpipes. Like, this all started with a vision. I could've been whipping in the kitchen. Mama, please don't be mad at me. This is what it had to be. It's a blessing what the eye can see. I never wanna go to sleep. Got me thinking about where I can be. I tell them when it all work out that this said it's all started with that vision. This said it's all started with that vision. I figured out that making it big should have never been the goal. Make it big enough so people around you feel progressive from the impact of the flow. With my feet dragging, this where my life happened to stroll. Been about a sense of 50 cent sandwich from the deli with the naps in a row. But I had to get around it, so I pick and roll. With the advice, they fill an open lane to get a pass from you. That's why they give it and go. But everybody got it mapped out since everybody rap. They tell you back out until you start to show strength and start to work out for your gear. Tell them niggas tap out. Y'all can never ever see me. Time to get your flash out. And if you did, it's cause you had to get your cash out, yeah, cause you ain't wanna go through it, you ain't even think that I could do it, but listen to my words, motherfucker, don't I prove it, it's a blessing what the eye can see, I never wanna go to sleep, got me thinking about where I can be, I tell them when it all work out that this said it's all started with that vision, this said it's all started with that vision. It's a blessing what the eye can see. I never wanna go to sleep thinking about what I can be. Tell them when it all work out that this said it's all started with a. This all started with a vision. This all started with a vision. Hey, this all started with a vision. This all started with a vision. Ooh oh. Ooh oh. Yeah. This all started with a vision, yeah. Never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the fame. Vision 50,000 motherfuckers screaming my name. So I decided to put the time in, they've been doing it wrong. Time to buy back the block, cause these are streets to be on. These are streets to be on. With the advice, they fill an open lane to get up. Never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the. Mind shackled while your thoughts ring your own bell. Never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the. This all started with a vision, I could have been whipping in the kitchen. Mama, please don't be mad at me. This is what it had to be.
I never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the. Been about it since a 50 cent sandwich from the deli. That's why they give it in. But everybody got it mapped out. Mind shackled while your thoughts ring your own bell. This all started with a vision. Never had dreams of rapping, I had dreams of the.
No, I actually use Hindenburg. That's what I'm using here.
Fix the stream title because I'm definitely an idiot.
Wow, you're so green over there. What are we doing over there with all that green? What other stuff you do?
Oh, you mean like Ron here with
yeah,
his green?
Yeah, what's Ron doing over there?
Oh, I draw tits and ass.
He's not even joking. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
Really?
He's an artiste.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
Twitch.tv/IamRaunchy.
Well, well, well.
Buy that merch.
Yeah, like usually the whole big thing is all of us like to plug our Twitters at the end, but I have to tell everyone, don't follow me unless you're 18 or up.
How many times have you been flagged, banned, or just kicked out of Twitter?
None on Twitter, banned once on Instagram.
I look at the room right now and he is the least likely to have been the guy that I thought would draw tits.
Ron is the least likely.
he would have been the least likely. I would have thought to draw tits.
It's the button up. It's the button up, Ron. Ron got all fancy because we have a guest today. And like, so, you know, everyone's like, oh, Ron looks like a modest
one. Oh, I'll just wear my Star Wars shirt. It's whatever.
And he would have been the Bob Ross of the group.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It is somewhat like Bob Ross.
Yeah, that added like an atom. Next level backwards, and that's great.
He's drawing mountains. He's drawing mountains with hairy fucking vaginas. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, there's a Peggy Hill one too. I'm just saying.
Okay, Ron. All right, Ron. Just we don't have to go that far. All right, Ron. Kevin Owens shirt. What's your name, sir? I forgot. I didn't get it.
Oh, it's Jake, man.
Jake.
Yeah.
From State Farm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got the khakis, bud.
Cool. I have to be that guy from like, I have to be like Michael from fucking The Office where I correlate people with their shit. It's like, homosexual, lesbian girl. Jake from State Farm. Got it.
Homosexual, black guy, long hair.
And the master of all trades, and you're Steve, right?
Yes, Steve, Ace, however you want to
look at it. Steve, that beard of yours speaks volume, sir. It tells me, it says, Kratos called, I want that beard.
That man.
I feel so left out. I don't have man beards like you guys do. Where's everybody from?
Well, all the smart people that aren't in button-ups are from... Memphis, Tennessee, essentially.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
We allow Jake to claim that, even though he technically lives right on the border over in Mississippi. But
dude, I grew up in Memphis my whole life. Just because I live in Mississippi now doesn't mean you discard me.
Oh, just because you left, it's whatever.
Okay, I want to make sure, because you guys have a New Yorker on the show. I want to make sure that we don't have like the North versus South kind of thing going on. I want to make sure we're good here.
Yeah. I don't think this is
the other guy from Texas. Civil War.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
He's worried about starting like a North versus South Civil War, and I'm like, no, it's okay. We just have the other guy from Texas.
Listen on Turnbuckle Tabloid. Our opening salvos is usually the current events of what we do, and we have been on a big rant recently on like political stuff. So I think we were getting like audiences from Spain, Bulgaria, China.
Nice.
Like, wait, Bulgaria? You got Rusev?
Yeah, we was getting like what was the other? The Russian Commonwealth and stuff like that. I was telling my co-host Olski. I was like, you think we might have found a niche with our show by doing that?
Maybe this wrestling thing's not panning out.
Yeah, it's not working the way we want it to. So whenever you guys are ready, just let me
straight to the day.
What was that?
I don't know. I think we cut you off.
Oh, okay. No. Whenever you guys are ready, just let me know.
Yeah, we're about to start.
All right.
Because I'm having to do the different recording, I just had to make sure all the stuff was actually picking people up.
Oh, okay, cool. You fancy right. Boy.
Volume up just a tad. Volume up just a tad. I got you, Jake. Say something real quick so I can make sure you're coming through.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're good.
Testing. Am I good?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And Ron.
Yeah.
Great, as always.
I do what I can.
All right. So countdown from 3. 7 seconds of silence just to pick up background noise so that way I can then do the noise reduction afterwards. And then I will just lead us off. Typical intro, and then what I'll do on the offset is I'll introduce your podcast and you can talk on like what y'all do and everything like that, and then we'll just go into, you know, current events, namely the fact that WWE actually knows how to put on a decent pay-per-view when their back's against the wall.
No problem, sir. I'll take the follow. I've never been that position before, but I'll manage.
Hey, Ace, can you hear me? I accidentally unplugged my mic.
Yeah, I was wondering what that like pop was.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay, I'm Gucci.
Gucci.
Okay, cool.
Gucci. All right. Swig. My organic pulse. And let's do this. And 3. Wait, there we go. And 3, 2, 1. Hey there, sports fans. It's Ace with the Quick Pop Podcast. Once again, coming at you on the less and right this time, because we fancy like that. I'm here with the usual, you know, assortment of co-hosts. We've got our boy, Raunchy Ron over here. Say hi, Ron. And then we've got various intros to his name. Jake currently is doing all right, not being bad. Look, you know what? As soon as the count comes in, we're going to check the validity of you being able to hold that belt.
What's up, guys? Yeah. Champs here.
Just casually waving that belt around.
Yeah.
This week's special, though, because we have a special guest. Yes, I put out the call. Gondor calls for aid, and other people answered. We've got a boy's, well, I think just one boy, because normally it's a two-man crew, right? Over at Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Yeah, my co-host, he's suspended right now because apparently he doesn't follow COVID protocol. And I told him, stop licking phone booths. But apparently in New York City, we still have phone booths. And he was licking
one. I was literally about to say, y'all got phone booths?
Yeah, apparently we still do, but he doesn't listen. So shout out to my boy, Matt Olski. He couldn't sit in on this one, but he'll be okay.
R.I.P. your boy.
Real quick, you talked about the validity of a certain championship real quick after TLC. Well, I am here to tell you that the Firefly Inferno match, I'm not going to get too much into it right now, but the time of that was 12 minutes. Therefore, your new champion is Ace.
What's good, boy? Yeah. What's good? So how did they determine that? Because there was no bell.
Hey Ace, could you get your edit button ready? That's bullshit.
I wanted to say it because he was like gloating a little bit before the cast, and then showed off his
right as his like belt. It wouldn't have been so bad if he didn't decide to, you know, fling the belt over on his shoulder like he all balling and everything.
It's fine. I'll get it back at Rumble. Ace can't win more than one.
That's not true at all. But beside the point.
Well, you are kind of like Sasha Banks of the belt.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Ace is hands down.
But yeah, less about me, even though, trust me, at the end of this podcast, we'll fix that issue. But less about me and our friend here, who with the very showy, y'all can't see it obviously on audio, but the very showy backdrop that he's got, putting our general backdrop to absolute shame. Y'all, from the little bit of research I did, y'all got a pretty long running thing going.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to what's going on. This is actually what we call in New York City. We call it a front.
I'm paying attention to.
This is what we call capping, and this isn't another. This isn't anything. We have more going on in this small tenement building that we live in New York City. But yeah, Jay Santee, Jay DeRed Santee from Turnbuckle Tabloid here, and we've been doing wrestling podcasts for 4 years. Turnbuckle Tabloid has been around for that long, but the actual name and the brand itself has been around for 9 years. It's almost 10 years come March 2021. I started off as a gimmick that I was working with an indie wrestling promotion out of here. They wanted me to be their Mean Gene Oakland. So it was a name that I came up with, and then I met up with the producer that I have to this day and my editor for Rageworks, and he had me come in as a writer for his website. And then afterwards, I started a sports podcast, and Turnbuckle Tabloid was a segment on the sports podcast because I wanted to cover wrestling as well. And then finally, once Rageworks didn't have their own wrestling show, he said, "Hey, do you want to go do your whole thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course. Why not?" And for 4 years, 4 years running, Turnbuckle Tablet, 205, 206, 207 episodes in, we've been running.
Yeah, y'all are over 200. That was like, because I didn't deep dive or nothing, but I did want to make sure that I at least kind of knew who I was talking to.
Oh, that's all right, sweetie. That's all right, sweetie. Sometimes when you want to do your research, you have to look at whoever it is that you're looking into. That's fine.
I think we're only like in the 70s, but then again, it wasn't 80s, like,
I believe,
I don't know, I lost count because I have a terrible memory. The one thing, the caveat though to that is it wasn't until about what, like a year and a half ago, that we started on weeklies, like every week. It used to be just like we would just get together and just be like, "Hey, we should record," because something happened. And we were like, "Yeah, okay." And then like 4 or 5 weeks would go by and we're like, "Hey, we should record." But I think about a year and a half ago ish, I ended up taking over and we switched the format to weeklies. Mm-hmm. So, but that's very impressive that you went from like a column on a sports site to your own thing. And now you've got this, you know, 200 episode strong, podcast going with a pretty nice little setup.
There's nothing little about that setup, dude. Like,
look, he just said it was a front. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I love how you two are so like just enamored with his setup. It's like, yeah, there's a wrestling pay-per-view last night. But dude, check it. This guy has title belt on his wall.
No. The best part about it is I'm being very cavalier about it. Like I said, it's just, a lot of this shit is just show because it's really unnecessary and it's just wasted energy by Con Edit, but whatever. But in all honesty, the show we've been running for this long, we've never taken a day off, a week off. We were weekly at a time. We ran every week, and the one thing that I can honestly be grateful for is the fact that I have a producer at Rageworks who, regardless of whether his own family time, his own personal, his business time, he will take our show. Cause we all have outside lives to deal with. You know, right, you three of us here, we all got to deal with that. But we have also our love for podcasting. If not, then why the fuck are we going to do it? Why are we doing it? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Nope, you're okay, man. we'll get into why that's
I blame Ron. It's Ron's fault.
Oh, it's my fault. Fuck that.
Ron said I can do that. Party.
Welcome to the party.
No,
you'll fit in.
But also the dynamic of the show is I'm the elder statesman of the podcast. I'm an older gentleman. I'm 44 years old. And my co-host is 22 years old. So you get the different spectrums of wrestling. You get the different generations of what they're viewing and what I see. My old school Jim Cornette kind of way of looking at wrestling, where you get the new style. And when it comes to our weekly schedule, he's very persistent, as well as I am, but he's always reminding me of, we got to put an episode this week. We got to be out there. We got to do this. So we have, knock on wood, 4 years in, we've never missed a week of wrestling.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That
awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Impressive. I think
as I drink from my beer while I say that.
I think we've missed three, and usually it's like extremely extenuating circumstances that causes us. Because usually with us recording early and then releasing midweek, we have a nice little buffer. But
yeah, I think it was like a whole last minute thing last time that just,
yeah, where it's just, well, there was the one where I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. Wasn't sure if Jake was going to make it. And I was like, Ron, are you going to be there? And then you just weren't. And then like, it was like the next day you were like, are you trying to get in touch with me? And I was like, yeah, the podcast. He was like, that was Monday. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
because I was gone. I was like, that's okay, man. Just, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. And then there was one where like I just ranted about Zelina Vega the entire time.
You had your
my solo
hot take.
Yeah. My good old fancy hot takes.
Well, so,
I do have a question for you, real quick. Does it ever like differ with your viewpoints? Like, how are you ingesting your wrestling like now as opposed to back then? Like, because you said, for example, like the Jim Cornette like sort of feel, and then you're starting to see promotions kind of going heavily, I guess, against that kind of old school mentality. Like, does that make you feel a certain type of way? Do you enjoy it more? I kind of want to like pick your brain for this little bit.
Yeah, first, we're all the same age, so like we all just have the exact same like how we grew up in wrestling.
Yeah, first and foremost, I haven't lost the love for wrestling. For me, it's just been, I guess you have to go with the changing of the times, but the other aspect is what we spoke about in our episodes these past couple of weeks was there's still a format that you have to follow when you're watching wrestling. Just like when you go to work, you have certain things that you have to take with you. You have your keys, you have your wallet, you have whatever necessities that you take to go to work, your tool belt, whatever it is that you do for work, those are essential to your job. And when you get to work, if something upgrades, something changes, then you go with the flow. But there are certain elements of wrestling that needs to stay true. Now, that has been the argument on our show, which is we felt that with the past couple of years when it came to how the indies have now implemented what I guess mainstream wrestling is now, has become a new norm for the lack of the term, but there's still missing those key elements that you take to wrestling. And am I bitter about it? No, but I do piss a bitch about it. I do actually, because you're still missing something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, is it mainly like, kind of like the whole shattering of kayfabe where there's not that big of an immersion anymore just because of, I guess like social media and everyone has a camera now, so you can't exactly, be basically, you can't be a dick out in public, except save for like MJF these days. But you know.
But that's the, but you see, and the terminology has been laid out to where individuals want to, I guess, ride with nowadays is you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Yeah. But for us, we say, yeah, you can, because you have, you mentioned social media. With social media, you can have your own personal page. You can have your own world where your close people could see what you're doing. But you could kayfabe a social media page as well. Hell, I have 2, 3, 4 pages on social media because one is my personal page and the other one deals with the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I know. I always say that the Jay Santy and my real persona are not so different, but for me to sell the product, I have to go to Jay Santy. Yeah. And for you to sell the gimmick, you need to sell it separately. You could still do the whole thing. Look, you just mentioned MJF. Does it splendid. But I think what happens is that wrestlers these days, they're afraid to be heels.
Yeah.
It's not like how years ago where you could go out there and the heels were the biggest gimmicks than any other thing in wrestling. Hell, I came into to loving wrestling from heels. I was a big Piper fan. I loved, back then,
were heels outside. Like social media has really like watered down the ability to be a heel.
But I think that wrestlers are afraid of it because they deep down psychologically, they want to be liked. They want to be loved. And I really think that you don't have to. Like, I don't really care if Mandy Rose and Nia Jax are doing TikToks together. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Even at the end of the day, when people go, well, you know, the movies are still movies. And I go, okay, but I still will look at the Avengers and still believe that Captain America has heat with Thanos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And regardless of what you say about if Chris Hemsworth or if James Brolin or Josh Brolin are friends outside it, we don't see it. We don't care about it. What we care about is what we're watching on screen. And that's what we're missing in wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling is definitely like peeled back that kayfabe curtain. And it's nice because it gives you more interaction with your favorite wrestlers. But then it's also not as nice because, you know, you go out and see The Miz do like some crazy super heelish thing. And then the very next thing you flip over to USA Network and it's Miz and Mrs.
Right.
And so like
great show. Now you great show.
Great show. Great show. But it's just that immediate, like, you know, like tonal shift of like, hey, you know, that guy who just bashed a dude's head in with a ladder, here he is playing with his daughter and like, you know, doing all these super, and not saying that like having a family is inherently non-heel, but it's a huge shift from what you just saw. So, I mean, it's true. Like back in the day, not having as much coverage on a wrestler actually did to their, you know, credit. There's the story on the Flight from Hell or something. I cannot remember the details because I have a terrible memory, but somebody was injured and they were the heel and they were riding with faces and they couldn't be seen doing that.
Well, the biggest one for me that I remember growing up, like I said, I'm probably the elder statesman here, was I remember in New York, because that's where it happened, was when I knew that the barrier was broken, was with the Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan getting caught on the New Jersey Turnpike, hanging out with each other. And they were in a major angle where they were, you know, this was Hacksaw going over. And they both were arrested in the same car. They were going to the next venue and, you know, they were in the car smoking pot and drinking beers. And it was like, but wait, why? This isn't right.
Why were they together? Right. I thought they hated each other.
Right. But also, at that age, I also got into dirt sheets. And I knew that wrestlers' real names, and I knew her, but it's still, there was still that mystique was still there, that I was still intrigued what was going on with the wrestling. I still believed that, you know, Zeus was going after Hogan after No Holds Barred. Like, I was still into that, although I knew what the real story was. But I was still into it. These days, I think they pulled it so far back beyond the current, is because I say on the show is wrestlers are very insecure and they want to be liked regardless if they heal their faces. They want to be liked.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Well, I think that, and also I think ever since late 90s with the NWO, like, you have a bunch of wrestlers that grew up in that era right now. And I think they grew up on the era of the cool heel, the heel that would do a wink and a nod to the fans, like, oh, I'm a bad guy, but, you know, you like me and stuff like that. And I think more wrestlers want to be that. They want to be that cool heel that's a bad guy, but it's, like, so cool you want kind of cheer for and stuff. I think you have less wrestlers now that just want to go all in on being a heel, on being, like you said, I don't care if you like me, I'm the heel, I'm this character, this is what I am playing. I am playing a bad guy. I'm not meant to be liked. I'm not meant to be cool. I'm put here to be hated, to cheat the good guy out, to be the person that you are hoping finally gets theirs.
Yeah, like, more people want to be like Kevin Nash and Razor Ramon rather than be like, say, David Schultz.
Yeah, but the tweeners were always there. We've always had tweeners because that's, you know, the lady. Yeah. The tweeners Stone were over Cole, there. But even before, and I was going to mention, because Stone Cold was the one that actually put it really over the top. But they were always there. The Macho Man Randy Savages. He was, regardless of what you say, he was super heel, but the gravitas that he gave to WWF and his persona, it forced him to become face because he was basically a tweener. You know what I'm saying? He was already there. Yeah. You had, even back in the days, you had the Nick Bockwinkles. It was Flash. Even Ric Flair back in the days. Yeah. It's like, you still, regardless, he's a heel or whatever, but it was like, shit, I want to be like him. Like, you wanted that. So the areas that real heels will tell you to F yourself and go home. You know, there's only a few in the business that kept that heel persona and lived it. And when it came to the tweener aspect, like you said, the NWO life, it became the things that you got to be. NWO wasn't supposed to be cool. But
No, they were not.
They weren't supposed to be cool. You know, that
they were supposed to be what you hated.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, you were anti-wrestling. You were anti-establishment. You were anti the promotion. But, you know, it was, once again, it became, like I mentioned, wrestlers still wanted to be liked, and that's what it is. You still want to be cool. Yeah. You want to still be recognized. And it's a sad state in wrestling when a heel, you can't even call them, you call them feels because they're like face heels. You can't even do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have, like, you know, oh, he's not really a heel. Oh, he's kind of like an anti-face. And you're just like, you look good or bad, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me ask you guys this, because AEW has said that, I'm sorry, I'm getting into my own fucking hosting mode.
No.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Let me ask you guys this. AEW has mentioned that they don't believe in heels and faces anymore. Does this help or hurt the business?
See, they say that, and then they have a literal cult, a literal, like, you know, pretty boy, I am awesome. Like, I put my ring up in a battle royale. Like, they say they don't have faces and heels, but they're, like, very obvious faces and heels. Like, they may not call them that. They may not use that terminology, but they don't have this, like, gray area where they're like, oh, he's kind of like Jungle Boy. He's straight up a face. If it was like 2 months ago, I would have said, your boys at Superkick Party. They would have been faces.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks. But, you know, now they're just kicking everybody that they get their feet on.
I think they had attempted to do is they tried to blur that line. That way there's no definitive yes or no definitive no, but kind of put everyone in this moral limbo, which I don't know if it works out, because one of the biggest things that you should like about wrestling is that you have a good guy and you have a bad guy. The bad guy is going to be bad no matter what. It is the job in storyline to create, I guess, that sort of trial, that sort of tribulation, That way the bad guy could get its comeuppance and the good guy could be like praised and be the hero and all that. With that being said, this is one little scruple I do have with AEW is that I know, right? I have a scruple with AEW. It's known. I'm throwing it out there. Is that I think they blurred it a little bit too much. And them saying we don't believe in faces, we don't believe in heels, it's just kind of unnecessary to say.
Yeah, agreed. Like, I think they were trying to go for an almost like an MMA based wrestling promotion where it's just like two guys fighting each other. You're the fans. Do you like this guy? Do you like that guy? Cheer for who you want to cheer for. I mean, and that's an okay idea, but I think at the end of the day, for me personally, wrestling is comic books come to life. You have two superheroes fighting it out. You have good versus evil. And I think you can have some of those matches where it's like, hey, cheer for who you want to. These guys are just going for like a title. But I think the moneymaker matches, and I think the matches we all remember and the stories we all remember is when you have like good versus evil. Or at least at some point, a bad guy that is just on this tier of like cheating and everything else. And then somebody comes up to his level and dethrones him. And I just think those are the better storylines. So I think if you try to make a company based around completely no heels and faces, I think you're taking a lot of the really good storylines from wrestling off. And it hurts more than it helps.
I always say the big money matches is the Conor McGregor versus whoever, Floyd Mayweather's versus whoever, the guy who is braggadocious, telling you that he's better than everyone, and I will ensure that I'm gonna hold this championship for the longest run, and no one can stop me, and then you have that guy who the fans want him to strip it. Regardless of what not only AEW, Impact, or any other indie promotion does, that's what is the element that I said when you walk out the house, you miss, because that's part of your...
Yeah.
It's part of your uniform. You have to have that. And I think that they're losing the mystique of that when it comes to wrestling.
Trying to mainstream the wrestling product to get more eyes on the product has kind of watered down the product a little bit in that regard, because they want to be everywhere, and we're all like, we just kind of want them to be in the ring.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys one more time. Like I said, I'm in my co-host mode. Let me ask you guys, especially for AEW, because this is such a fresh a promotion and, you know, a little bit over a year in. A lot of people are comparing it to the later days of WCW. Do you guys see the same thing?
We've had that conversation many a time.
Oh, yeah?
AEW does something, we're like, oh, okay. So you're definitely not trying to be WCW now. Because I can remember when it first started out and when we had like the Wednesday Night Wars, we were like, oh, really? We're just going to do this again? what was it? There was something recently where like we really were like driving home the WCW
when Sting came back.
Yeah, when Sting came back. Yeah. Everyone's now praising Sting, and I'm like, oh, okay. So you're having a Monday night war or a Wednesday night war, and just conveniently Sting's on your product.
And Sting's there right as like Kenny decides to jump over to another promotion and like somewhat
and start a war with them too. And then, you know, like, oh, are we having a war? We got Sting.
Yes, Sting's here.
I'm here.
I don't think it's so much the later days of WCW though. Because like, let's say the later days of WCW, they were just throwing stuff against a wall, just hoping something would stick.
Right.
Like when you have Vince Russo come in and they have like backwards mom on a pole match and stuff like that. Like, they were just doing all the crazy nonsense they could just to be like, well, somebody watch this. So I don't think AEW is late days in WCW. I do think, though, that especially with Cody, I think his favorite time in wrestling stuff was the 80s and then WCW in the 90s, because that's where his dad worked and stuff. And so I think Cody is trying to recreate, maybe not like verbatim, but I think that's the feel at least he wants out of this company, is that WCW feel, for better or worse.
It's an enhanced blueprint.
Exactly. I think that's a good way to put it, is that that is the blueprint that he is going off of, and he is trying to take modern wrestling and mix it with 90s, 80s WCW.
Well, I laugh because, I'm the guy on the show who's the old way of looking at wrestling, and you're not looking at wrestling the way it is. And it's, whenever I say, what are we doing here with these matches or this booking? It's like, God, what's going on here? It's like, oh no, you're not embracing the new way of wrestling. You're just the old style. But as soon as Sting comes out, it's like, oh my God, Sting is here. It's like,
yeah. Yep.
Oh no.
We all okay.
No,
we all were pop, funny. But it's still like,
I'm not even
okay.
I'm
then
not even
what?
On that same train. And I can remember seeing everyone pop for it, and these two in our group chat popping for it, and I was just like, okay, I'm not really all that impressed.
Let me say, I popped for it because I went, okay, I was happy for him because he left the WWE thing.
Yeah,
you know, it
yeah.
wasn't because of nostalgia. Yay! It's like, what are you going to do with a 61-year-old man? Honestly, yeah. What can you do?
But you can go to TNA and try and re-wreck TNA.
Oh, wow.
Burn, sweetie, burn. Oh. Nice. But honestly, it's everybody says, wrestling is new, you know, the Tope Suicidas and, you know, everything is about the spot monkeys and all this stuff. But then as soon as Sting or Goldberg or anybody goes, oh my God, he's here. And it's like, but, that's
as
the
much
old
as we love
way. What are
the,
you talking
the
about?
New way. We all have that pair of rose-colored glasses. In
yeah,
our
exactly.
Yeah.
Or in my
and
or in my position,
Kurt Angle comes out, and you're just like, "All right, let's enjoy this."
Yeah, that was the drunk goggles. Like, oh shit, he's 20 years yeah. younger again. We can do it. Whatever.
So for our listeners who've been listening to us, by the way, thanks for sticking around, because we have yet to hit the pure insanity.
I don't much to do anyway.
You may have heard there are a few bleeps here and there, which is fine, because as we all know, the quick pop usually sticks to the way that WWE rates their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were family friendly, so we chose to.
I'm sorry.
However,
I'm so sorry.
On TLC last night, a felony was committed and things have changed.
We'll get to
it because, but I think we can also safely say that was actually a pretty dang good start to finish pay-per-view, because typically WWE has a bad case of like either sucking at both ends and being really good in the middle, or the reverse of like having a great and an awful, and then, you know.
Guys, apparently he's talking about that we should be PG as such, but what he just said, actually charged another $60 or $80 for that. So it's just
100%.
I'm still laughing that he said sucking from both ends.
Yeah, that's an additional $60 if you want.
Are we doing a human centipede situation now, Ace? What type of podcast have we become?
Thank you for pointing out that reference, guy who's supposed to be the nice-looking one, apparently.
Blame Turbo Tabloid for that. We invaded you guys.
Oh, we invading now?
Oh, that's okay. another 40. That's another 40 bucks for that. Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.